Once again, we welcome you to Thursday evening Bible study, where Jesus is Lord. We won't hold you long this evening. We just want to recap and review all 10 questions, just in case anyone missed one session or has a question that wasn't answered. Please, at your own time and leisure, look these up and study them for your own understanding of how the Lord is opening up what he would have us to do. The first question, number one, was what Jesus told us to seek, and it was found in Matthew 6:33. It said to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Number two was the character of God is the fruit of the Spirit, which was found in Galatians 5:21-22. The third question that was asked was the work and the will of God, which was found in John 6:29-40, which is to believe on him who he has sent, and he that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. It is the Son of Man that people have an issue with, then and today. In Luke 12:32, which is the fourth one, the Bible said it is the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom of God to you. With the kingdom, you seek it, you take it by force, because Satan does not want you to have it. And by God's pleasure, it is given to you, and it is found in you.
He wants you to have the kingdom and possess it. Take it by force, because the kingdom is not meat nor drink. You hear what I'm saying? It's not meat, it's not drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what we need at this time. We need to possess it. We need to hold fast to it, because if we don't, it will destroy us, and it will cause our faith to be weak. And when he comes back, he's looking for faith in the earth. So we must possess the kingdom of God. If it's his good pleasure to give it to us, saints, don't give it up. Keep your peace. Keep your joy. And where is it at? In the Holy Ghost.
And that just leads us to the very fifth question, and Sister Rosson brings that out. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And this was found in Romans 14:17. And what it means, the kingdom is not something you eat physically. Mm-hmm. The kingdom is what you eat spiritually. It does not sustain or keep your natural life. It keeps your spiritual life so you can continue to live naturally. Question six was, what John told us in 1 John 2:15-16. And that was to love not the world or the things in the world. To love these would mean God's love is not in you. Verse 16 said that the things are the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These things will hinder, they will block, even destroy everything that you have put in your treasure about the kingdom. The things surrounding the lust of the flesh are the fleshly lust, are the cravings of the body, things that gratify, please, or satisfy the actual appetite of man. Ask yourself, what does your flesh crave? This includes eating, drinking, engaging with men or women. The lust of the flesh consists of what your body does.
And what it is your flesh is craving. And when your flesh craves, your spirit gets weak. it is deprived of what it need, and it need the word of God to sustain it. I think the word talks about the flesh getting fat, but the spirit is getting lean. And truly, we need to reverse that and make sure the spirit that of God that's in us becomes fat, rich with the word, that we can literally go without eating for a while because we are so rich and fat in the word of God. And remember, the lust of the flesh is pertaining to nothing but things in the flesh. It's the cravings of the flesh. And what it does is so it causes us to constantly have warfare. Warfare in this body. Either you're going to submit yourself to the will of the flesh or the will of the spirit. And you always, always, will always have a conflict with the body and the spirit. You will always have that conflict. But the bottom line of having that conflict, if you lean towards the flesh, the one thing that we must not forget, it says, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's a promise. If you lean to the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God.
So what we see is the lust of the flesh consists of what your body does. Mm-hmm. But the lust of the eye consists of what your eyes see. The eye can cause the body to lust and do certain things. The things surrounding the lust of the eye are things you may covet after that you don't have. For example, houses, something of your neighbors, furniture, cars. The list can go on to what you see and lust after.
You know, in the book of Proverbs 27:20, it talks about hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man is never satisfied. So when you have the lust of the eyes, what it has, you'll never be satisfied. For example, have you ever saw something that you like and you desire to have, and you kept thinking, how can I get it? How can I possess this? This is something I really like. Sometimes you go home and you think about it, you dream about it, you stay up all night thinking about it, making ways to get it, because your eyes have saw something that your flesh craved for, your eyes, and when you, once you get it, it still, it kind of, the newness of it wears off. You're not satisfied, and you find yourself craving for something else, seeing something else greater and better. Tell me about it. The technology, what you got last year is obsolete. Now you want the latest and the greatest. And as the scripture says, everything when that hell and destruction are never full. And believe me, hell is never going to be full. And but it says the eyes of man is never satisfied. So think about it. When you desire that so badly till it overtakes you, this is what he's telling you. Don't let it be in you.
So what we see is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye are triggered by the cares of this world, the pleasures of life, and the deceitfulness of riches. Ask yourself, what do your eyes lust after or desire? The things surrounding the pride of life are titles, accomplishments, awards, and positions, to name a few.
Amen. And just take what happened to Lucifer himself. And the Lord says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Art thou cut down into the ground, which did weaken the nation? You know, and what had happened, he said within himself, you know, and all it was is pride. He wanted to be like the Most High God. He was an angel, and he couldn't be no more than what his purpose in life was to be. And you think about it, we try to be more than what our purpose in life is to be. And we get lifted up in pride. And we understand that when pride comes, there's also a fall. It says a proud look, a lying tongue, and a hand that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift to run into mischief. These are the things that God hates. And when you read this scripture in Proverbs 6, it talks about that. And what it involves is a lying tongue, a proud look, a hand that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, and a feet that be swift to run into mischief. It's all about the flesh. It's the working of the flesh. And what happens in that flesh, a man get pride and lifted up. But believe me, when pride come, a fall is on its way.
And that brings us to question 7, where we ask about John 11:35, where it says, Jesus wept. Remember, Jesus did not weep because he was, because Lazarus was dead. He knew his state. Jesus wept because of the unbelief of those around him. Question 8 was in regards to our purpose in God. And that was found in Romans 8:28-29. In order for the will and the work to be perfected in us, in order for us to obtain and keep the kingdom of God, in order for us to successfully seek and keep his kingdom, we must be conformed to the image of the Son, who is Jesus. Again, that form is the shape and structure of. What is being shaped and structured is our mind. Philippians again said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Your mind must be formed as Christ so you can be able to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. In order to be successful, we must have a true purpose, and that purpose is to be conformed to the image of his Son.
And just think about it, even in your purpose, the things that you go through is to bring you to your purpose. Ecclesiastes talk about is a time and a season for everything. And I know it's a lot of seasons that we have to go through we don't like. We say, I don't want to go through these things, or why do I have to go through these things? But every season has a purpose. And look at nature itself. If the trees didn't have the summer, they wouldn't blossom. And if they didn't have the winter, they wouldn't shed, so new growth can come afterwards. So it's a purpose for all that we go through. And it talks about that in Ecclesiastes, that man may be exercised therein. So never try to come away from your purpose, because God's plan for our life is perfection in his word. And to have perfection in his word, or to complete his heart's desire, we had to go through many things. And our great example is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he could have called 10,000 angels at his rescue, but no, he had a purpose and a will, and he completed it. And it's the same with us. So don't be discouraged. Don't be down and out, because you have an adversary that wants to overtake you. But nevertheless, God's perfect for your life is to be complete in him.
So saints, there is no other purpose for us. There is no one else we can be conformed to and be successful, because everyone else has failed. No one else can open the book or the seals. Mm-hmm. Nathaniel said this about Jesus: behold, the Lamb of God, in whom there is no guile. In a true purpose, there is a true calling that is necessary, and that calling is to lay hold on to eternal life. In question 9, this was found in 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12. When grasping eternal life, there are a few things we need to think about and remember. If you look at 1 Timothy 6, going up to verse 6 and 7, verse 6 said, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. To be satisfied with the inseparable companion of true religion is better than the gain and prosperity of the world." Psalms 37 and 16 said, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked."
Amen.
Proverbs also said, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." Verse 7 in Timothy says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out."
Amen.
The rich fall into temptation and snares when they seek the treasures of this world.
Yes.
If you come down to verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So with that in mind, looking at verse 11, it says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things."
Amen.
"And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Meaning, continue to seek after the things that follow the character of God.
Amen.
Then again, verse 12 tells us, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Christians' lives is compared to warfare against sin and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So live the gospel and defend the cause of God.
Yes.
Build up the church and live in the Spirit.
Yes.
And last, what is eternal life? And where is it found? In John 17 and 3, it says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Since eternal life is knowing the only true God, which is the Father and his Son, who is Jesus, since no one knew the Son but the Father, and no one knew the Father except the Son, and to whomsoever he would reveal him to, it makes good sense to lay hold on to this eternal life, which is to know both the Father and the Son. Again, if you don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you will find yourself seeking and getting caught up into the cares of this world.
Amen.
When it says his righteousness, that righteousness is Jesus. Jesus is our righteousness. He has shown us the right way to live. This way of living is necessary for us to survive in this world. This kingdom we are seeking is not tangible, but spiritual. It consists of God's character and is placed in us so we may overcome, endure, and tolerate the things the world throws at us and we can be with him for eternity.
Amen. And Pastor, just think about it. And hearing what you're saying is just telling us to lay hold. It tells us to fight the good fight of faith. It tells us to possess the kingdom of God. And it tells us that our calling, our purpose, all that, we have to fight for it. Because if you don't fight for it, and this is a spiritual fight, because everything around us is spiritual, which we don't see, but we have to have faith and to believe that it's there. So we need to begin to lay hold, fight, possess, take it by force, the kingdom of God.
So saints, our time is up, and we thank you for yours.